Dick Barton, Special Agent.
We present the first installment of a new adventure serial, Dick Barton, Special Agent, broadcast by special arrangement with the BBC. When we meet him for the first time, Dick Barton with an old wartime comrade, Snowy White, is on holiday at Grandley, a small village on the Devonshire coast.
You know, Snowy, whoever called this a golf course lied in his teeth.
Don't know why you play the game. Honest I don't, sir. Don't see no future in it somehow. Not to me.
I'll have to take a bit of exercise occasionally.
Yeah, should have thought it would have been cheaper to buy some Indian clubs myself. Saved a lot of walking, too.
I dare say if you got yourself a set of golf clubs, you'd change your mind. There's something about the game that gets you. Not on this course, though.
Well, there's your ball in that ridge. There. Now give it a bash.
Oh, that's better. Where's the green? Ah. Now then, pass me my brassy. No, no, not that. That one there. Ah, thanks. My favourite club, brassy. Now watch this.
I'm watching. Ooh, love a duck. Got a bit of right-hand side on that one, hadn't you, sir?
Oh, what a slice. Where's it going to finish?
Oh, in that quarry, by the look of things. I reckon you've just about had that one, sir.
No fear. I've already lost two balls on this apology of a course. They're too precious to carry on like this. We're going to find that one if we have to climb the entire Devonshire coastline for it. Now, come on.
Well, we're out in the fresh air, I suppose.
Tell me, Snowy, I haven't had much chance to speak to you since you got down here last night. How are you settling down?
No, I ain't. Nor settling up, neither. Can't seem to rest content at nothing, somehow.
Same as me. You know, Snowy, 6 years of battle, murder and sudden death spoil you for a nice, peaceful office job. Don't you agree?
Oh, I do, sir. I went back to my old job, long-distance lorry driving. Stuck it for 3 weeks. Got pinched twice for speeding.
I can sympathise with you there. Your toe just goes down automatically, doesn't it?
Yes. Remember the old Autobahn up to Hanover?
I do. And I remember you wrapping the pair of us round the rear end of a tank transporter.
Well, he should have had a decent rear light.
Yes, and you should have had decent headlights. Still, that's by the way. The point is, Snowy, what does the future hold in store?
I know, sir. Looks a bit black to me. I've tried 4 jobs since we was demobbed last November. Can't somehow seem to settle down in none of them.
What are you working at now?
Why, I ain't. Had a slight difference of opinion with the foreman last Wednesday. We had words.
Oh, so you're out of a job, eh?
That's right, sir. Yes, your suggestion that I should come and spend a few days holiday with you down here at Grandley just come at the right time.
Good.
And what about yourself, sir? How about your old job?
Well, I was with the International Construction Corporation just before the war. They were very decent about the whole business. Said they understood that the process of settling down was a difficult one in the circumstances, and they were prepared to wait until I was ready to come back.
Well, you've kept them waiting a heck of a time, sir, since last November.
Yes, I know. That's what they're beginning to feel. I had a letter from them a few days ago.
What, if they give you your cards?
Not exactly. But they've said that unless I can see my way clear to start up with them again within the next week or so, they'll have to fill my post.
Is it a good job?
Well, the salary's all right, Snowy, but it's a desk job in London. Somehow, I don't know, but it just doesn't appeal now. Not after 5 years of combined ops. Imagine it, Snowy, a desk job in London. I should go scatty.
Well, I'd rather be in London than in this benighted hole. Or let's start up somewhere where there's some houses and a few bright lights.
No, we shall have to go into all that, of course. Let's wait until we get back to the cottage. Mrs. Horrock will have something extra special in the way of lunches today, as it's your first day here. In the meantime, Snowy, here's the quarry, or whatever it is. Where's my golf ball?
Love a duck, sir, like looking for a needle in a perishing haystack. Queer-looking place this, ain't it?
Yes, looks like some kind of disused mine working.
What, right by the sea?
Well, that's what it looks like. Let's climb down and see if there's any sign of that boar. You can't get them for love nor money, not golf balls. I can't lose any more.
Weird-looking place, ain't it? Gives you the creeps somehow.
That's because the sun isn't shining on it.
Thank that. Look at that blooming great owl.
Hole?
In the side of the cliff.
Oh, you don't call them holes, man. It's a cave. Actually, I should imagine it's the entrance to the mine workings. I've heard there's an old disused mine somewhere around here. This must be it.
Well, it ain't much use looking for a golf ball in there. It's too dark.
Well, come on. Let's have a look round. Follow my track.
It's a bit tricky.
If there was 50 golf balls here, you wouldn't be able to find them.
Ah, darn silly way to arrange a golf course with a place like this stuck in the middle of it. Must cost the members a small fortune in lost balls.
Oh, there's some tracks going into that cave. Look. Plenty of people been dodging around here by the looks of things.
Visitors, I suppose. Spending a pleasant afternoon searching for smugglers' caves. Or club members searching for golf balls. Let's go have a deco anyway. See what's down there.
Got a torch?
Ah, do I look as though I've got a torch? I came out to play golf.
Well, what I mean is you won't be able to see very much inside there without one.
Oh, well, maybe you're right at that. And I don't think we shall find my ball, so we might as well push off and call it a day. Mrs. Horrock's lunch is beginning to call me anyway.
What was that?
What?
Thought I heard a noise in that cave. Like a gasp echoing.
Oh, imagination.
No, I don't think it was.
Jiminy, what was that? Come on, Snowy.
With you, sir. Carry on. He's got a torch. I can see him bobbing about. Here he comes.
All right. All right, old chap. Hang on.
What's the trouble?
Oh, dear. What a frightful thing to have happened. Oh, poor Desmond.
What's the matter?
Here, hang on a minute, chum. Get your breath back.
I am Professor Earnshaw. My friend Desmond and I were searching for fossils when he slipped and cut his head terribly badly. Oh, terribly badly. Oh, the blood made me feel quite faint.
What have you done? Left him to bleed to death?
Oh, no. I've staunched the blood as best I could. I'm going for help quickly. He is quite conscious. Now, if I can get a car or an ambulance, would you please go in and help him while I fit some method of transportation?
Yes, of course. Do you know where to go?
Oh, yes. I come here every year. It's no distance, really.
You go along with him, Snowy.
Really? No. Now, a better idea, if you'd not mind my saying so, would you carry my friend to the entrance of the cave? He's a big man. It'll take two of you. Now, meanwhile, I'll hurry for help and an automobile of some kind.
Well, that's sense anyway. Come on in with me, Snowy. You carry on, Professor. Oh, lend us your torch, will you?
Yes, of course. Thank you. Thank you so much. You'll find him about 100 yards into the cave. I'll hurry along now. Oh, dear me.
Come on, Snowy. See you later, Professor.
Oh, queer old bird.
Yes. Homburg hat and Macintosh to go fossil hunting. I'll sort of get up. Ah, well, here's the cave.
Help!
Hey, hello, Desmond,
help!
Where are you?
Help!
Okay, old boy, coming.
There's his torch. Look, down there.
We'll be with you in a jiffy, old chap.
Make my torch here. Who is it?
Somebody to give you a hand, old man. Don't worry.
Did you get that swine?
Eh? Swine? Who?
He's delirious, sir.
Delirious be darned. That man didn't see his face. Got a black Homburg hat. Saw that.
Oh, your friend the professor. Yes, we saw him.
No friend of mine. He just stabbed me in the side.
What?
Look. Shine your torch.
What?
Good Lord. Jack, sir, that's a nasty do.
Look, Snowy. You look after this chappie as best you can. I'll get on after the professor.
Just a minute. I know your voice. Let's take a look at you. Oh, yes. Yes, aren't you Barton? You were in 20 Commando once.
That's right. Why, you're Low. Jimmy Low, aren't you? You were in military intelligence. I met up with you in Belgium.
Excuse me, sir. This chap's in a bad way, whoever he is. We want an ambulance. And I don't think that there professor's gone for one somehow.
I've just about had it.
Oh, nonsense.
I know what I'm talking about. Honestly, Barton. But I must talk to you. Send your pal out for help. No use looking for the swine who knifed me. He'll be well away by now.
Okay, Snowy, would you mind dashing off? Any conveyance you can get hold of, anything, with some assistance, a couple of strong men.
Yes, sir. Sure you'll be all right, sir?
Yes, but keep a sharp lookout for that professor, Bird. He'd certainly got a very smooth story worked out in a short space of time.
Well, I'll be away then, sir. Back as quick as I can.
Good man. Hey, here, take my torch. Hurry! Now then, let's take another look at you, old man.
Look, Barton, you see that huge iron door there?
Yes.
It's a strong room. Drag me into there. The walls are rock and the only entrance is the door. Once we're in there, our backs are covered anyway. Never know who else might be lurking round. This place is like a maze.
Okay. I'm sorry, old man. Now, let's see what the damage is. Good Lord, old boy, this is serious. Here, sit up.
I know, Barton. This fellow knew where to stab and how. Now, listen to me, Barton. You must listen.
Now, don't talk, old son. Keep quiet while I try and staunch the blood.
Got to talk. Look, first shine the torch around this place. Yes, it's gone all right. Now listen, not much time. Look, Barton, you've got to help. I'll tell you what I can and you must help.
Of course I'll help, you know that.
Good. Now then, I'm working for the War Office. MO-13, secret weapons, top secret. We had a beauty just before the end of the war. A real horror of a weapon, Barton. We hid it in this strong room, cut into the rock. We put a guard on the place, all ex-army men. The idea was to keep it safe and sound until it could be handed over to United Nations. Do you see?
I see, yes.
The guard here was doubled recently because the date of handing over the weapon was drawing near. My boss, Colonel Gardner, head of MO13, has been personally in charge of the business. He's got a hunch somebody may try to get hold of the thing. He sent me down to check up that everything was okay and make preliminary arrangements for the removal and handing over of the weapon. When I got here, no guards. Nobody here. I got as far as the iron door here when somebody knifed me in the side. I turned, yelled, just saw the fellow's Homburg hat as he breezed off. The rest, you know.
What do you want me to do?
I'm losing blood fast. You must get away quickly to London. See Colonel Gardner, War Office. Tell him what you know.
You'll be all right, little boy. We'll get you out of this.
Tell you I've had it, Barton.
Now look, where's that torch? Let's see if I can get you out of this place and into the open air. See what we're doing.
Barton! Look!
What?
Don't let it shut, Barton! Don't let it shut!
Hell! That darn professor bloke again. How do we get out now?
We don't, Barton. It's a self-locking door. Only opens from outside.
How can Dick Barton get out of the strong room? What has happened to Snowy White? Who has stolen the secret weapons? Who is the stranger in the black Homburg hat? Listen again to the next presentation of Dick Barton, Special Agent, an Australasian radio production.